That's okay with you? All right. So, continuing with How Deep Is Your Love, reading the title, it would think, make me think it's, or a person that's not knowing think, or may make you think of the Bee Gees, right? But it may also make you, but it also might make you think the question is, I'm asking you how deep your love is. But the question for me was to God, show me how deep your love is. And as we covered it last week, as we began to go through it, I begin by asking the question, or make the statement and ask the question, how can you really trust God to do anything for you, with you, through you, if you don't know that you are loved by God? And I don't mean in the general sense, yes, Jesus loved me for the Bible tells me so. That's a cute song and children love it, but I don't think it explains anything. The Bible tells me so. Fine. Do I believe it? Maybe, kind of, sort of, yeah, supposed to. Yeah, he loves you, of course. Absolutely, yes. And from time to time, I can feel it. And what I've been challenged into it this season, and I'm attempting to challenge you into, is what about when you don't feel it? What about that knowing that's so deep, that's so ingrained in you, that there's not a question? And I want to help the parents here maybe feel it a little different. And maybe you can feel it if you're an aunt, but definitely as a parent, you feel it. If I ask the parents here, do you love your children? What would you say? Unequivocally, yes, I love my babies. And then if I asked you why, you would say, what? See, this is important. This is important, right? You don't have a real answer for that, do you? Because sometimes they can be so unlovable, but you just love them, right? And you don't know why. And I want you to understand this. If you think about that love, if I say I love you guys individually, a relationship, you're in a relationship, you're married, and you ask a person why they love that person, they have the reasons. The reasons are very clear, because she understands me, because he talks to me, he listens to me, he's considerate of my heart and my needs. I feel like safe when I'm with them. Am I right? We have all these qualifications for the love of a person. And if you ask people why they love God, they'll give you the qualifications. Because he died for my sins, because he's there for me when I need him, blah, 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 blah. I wrote a song about it. When I hear it, here it goes, right? And we have this whole thing that we walk through, right? But then I ask you, why do you love your kids? And you went, the moment, especially for a mother, when that child comes out your womb, if you're a mother with a real heart and you look down in the face of that child, a father, I went to, you're in love. I will die for you. I will do anything for you. Oh my goodness. This child's done nothing for you. Not a thing. They keep you up at night. They cry. They whine. They got to be fed. You got to wipe their poop. Oh my goodness. But you're in love. And it's this immense love that you can't even explain. And this child has done nothing for you. And I began to I've kind of questioned it in the past before, but doing this conversation with God, I began to question it again. And I said, what is that? What is that? That has to be something that comes straight from you. It's no logic to it. It's no sense to it. They're gonna cost me money. They're gonna eventually cause me some problems. They're gonna be getting themselves. Stop! Don't. Oh my God! Put the gate up so they don't go down the steps. All it's just one thing after another. Just you, just creating so much. I can't go out like I used to. I can't just go hang with my friends. You just an interruption of interruptions. But I love you. And God said, that is the closest thing on earth to the God kind of love that exists. He said, I just love you. You're not perfect. You don't do everything right. You can be sometimes more of a problem than you are anything else. But I just look at you and I just love you. I just do. There's no words, there's no reason, there's no explanation. There's no, yeah, because you're good and you go to church and you pray and fast regularly and you read the Bible all the time and you're always good to people, even when people are not good to you. And you just represent me so well in the earth. And they teach you that crap in church. But the truth of the matter is, God loves you just because just because there is no because. How about that? Just because there is no because. You love that child for whatever that reason is, you can't define it. And God's love for you cannot be defined. So, hallelujah. So, when I go back to where I started the message last week, I was saying, I can't really believe or trust God unless I know He loves me. So, God, I really don't understand it because the Bible tells me so is not an answer. It's what is it? And I saw that scripture, God is love, and those who worship God worship Him in spirit and truth, but God is love. And I'm like, okay, so ready? Listen to me. Listen. I know I got your attention. God doesn't have love for you. I got nothing but love for you, baby. Like God don't just have love for you. God don't have feelings for you. God don't have love to give. God is love. There is no filter in between that. Does that make sense? God is love. That's what He is. So He doesn't give it. He is it. Lord, please help me and them see what's being said today. Because I'm still walking through this. You are love. At those moments, when you look into the eyes of them kids, those children, those babies, some people get like that with puppies and stuff like that, right? At that moment, different color people usually. But my thing is, no, they make them animals their family like that. What? That's like their kid. Like you, how dare. I would rather see an animal saved than you as a human being. Fat. I mean, that love is a love that is not logical. In some cases, not even ethical, but it's there. They feel that. They feel that need to protect, to provide, to keep, to hold, to make sure your world is okay. It hurts me when I got to discipline you. All these kind of things. That's a God love sown into you. So, with that said, I don't totally understand it yet, but I'm on the journey to do so. And so, in this season, I'm going to be talking about that a lot. Now, there was a season that you went through, Q, where you kept talking about, but what about God's love? But what about the love? And you would ask that question so often. Sometimes people would look at you like, yeah. And you would, but you kept saying that, like, but the love, what? And somebody made the comment, are he going to the Jamaican one love thing? Like, now I'm like, no, he's really feeling something. I don't know what it is, but he's feeling something. It's something that he's sensing, like, but what about the love? And he was talking about us, toward one another. And I was like, but that's not possible. One, if I don't know that I am loved and I am filled with that love to give, and if I don't know that I am loved and I don't love me, then I can't give love to you that I don't have. I can't fill you from an empty cup. I just can't. I can try. I could try to say what I think you need, but I can't bless you. That God-ordained love for the child. Listen close. I watched Ruth go from a girl to a mother and how everything about her changed when she became a mother. You may not notice it, Ruth, but I did because I saw you as a carefree, living your life, walking with God, doing the best you can, and all of a sudden you were responsible for something. And it's like you aged like overnight, like it just changed, boom, like wow. So are you pregnant and all that? You were still Ruth. But when that baby hit this earth, something about your whole energy changed. Now, I didn't get to experience that with you, Sophie, because you already had a baby, but I saw it with her and I'm watching it with my kids. And I saw like Markel's about to be a father again. And it's just all of a sudden there's a deeper sense of, okay, but you've done this twice. But once again, the reality of there's a dependency being delivered to me. And it is something that I love that's not even here yet. I'm taking care of myself. Listen to me. I've seen people do it. I've seen women do it. They'll smoke, they'll drink, they'll do everything. I can't do that. I'm pregnant. So you care more about that fetus than you care about yourself. Wow, that's deep. Okay. This is the closest thing to God's love that I can relate to on this planet. You are a responsibility to me. You're changing a lot of what I have to do because now I have to care for you. But I love you because you're mine and because you're given to me, or I've chosen you, or I've chosen to be a parent, and this is what comes with it. I didn't want to stay on it that long, but I hope that that helped begin to paint the picture of this love that we're talking about. There's no rhyme or reason. He doesn't love you because you got saved. He loved you before you got saved. And people think God hates. No, he does not. He loves every one of us exactly the same. He loves us. Those who defy him, those who curse him, those who go against him, everything. He still loves his babies. You have to reap the consequences of what you choose, and you surrender yourself to another father, and you become that father becomes responsible for you. You know, so if you choose darkness, or you choose witchcraft, or you choose whatever, you made that choice. But God's love for you is without turning a shadow of repentance. Now, I was planning to go straight into the scripture, but I just need to share it with you. So I got on another one of those calls, and you know, whenever the guy would talk about the love, he would say God or the universe or whatever you call it, blah 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 blah, and then he would continually compare Christianity to Buddhism to even being a Wiccan. Even being a witch, like it's all the same. Whatever you believe, you know, it's fine. God is loving. He's going on and he's talking, he's sharing his perspective. And this is the guy, I think I told you, got on his thing before, got a chat before, and he sent me an inbox. He DM'd me to say, thank you for representing Christianity without judgment and with love, blah, blah, blah. So I got on his thing and he recognized me and he, you know, my name, and he invited me into the thing and he said, yeah. And he immediately talked about how I represent Christianity so well. Well, glory to God. I don't know how true that is, but I'm doing what I can. You know what I'm saying? But he began to talk about his spiritual experiences and awakenings and spirits. And this one woman was on there talking about how her husband had demon spirits and she had to cast them out. And of course, you know, they were, you know, challenging if it was demons or aliens or, you know, what was the term they kept using? But vibrations, you know, it's vibrations from, you know, the other realms, and there's the dark vibrations and good vibrations, and you know, vibrations in the middle. And so at some point in the conversation, I spoke up and shared, because he asked me to, you know, what, you know, my opinions on stuff they were talking about. And I kept referring back to scripture, because what I was amazed about, and I want you to listen to me real close, leaving the love of God out, because they don't, a lot of them, they don't know that. And of course, most Christians don't, unfortunately. They had a better understanding of the spiritual realm and how it worked than most of the Christians I've ever met. And they kept talking about the spirit of love, and they kept talking about the spirit of peace, and how you got to tap into it, and on and on and on they were going. And so whenever I would speak, I would use the scripture to verify what you're saying is biblically sound. Here's the scripture that goes to that. And they appreciated that. They didn't say, can we just not do that? They literally were open to hear. But here's what I want to bring it to. Whenever he spoke, he would go off on a tangent. And I don't think he's even 30. He looks young. But he's the spiritual healer. And he would go on to this whole conversation. And he kept saying, because what you have to do, and what you need to do, and what you, and so at one point I said, I don't want to, listen close, what, this is the reason I'm telling you this. I said, listen close. I don't want to be offensive to you, and I hope you are teachable. He said, oh yeah, absolutely, very teachable. I said, you speak in absolutes too much. You talk like as if you have mastered the realm of the spirit, and you're giving people. So he said he wasn't going to be defensive, but he was defensive as his platform, and he's been doing it for 3 years, and he's helped so many people in so many ways. And you know, I'm trying not to bust out laughing at him, because he said 3 years when I've been doing it over 30, right? But but I let him finish his statement, and then I said, so you're saying you've arrived? And then he realized, and he said, well, no, there's a lot. I said, I've been doing it for 30 plus years, and I still feel like a baby. I really feel like I'm just starting to get it 30 years in. So I would ask you to be, just say, I believe in my experience, it is my strong belief. You keep making too many definite statements. Why am I telling you all of this? A couple other people spoke. They spoke up, they agreed, so they got the confidence to kind of say something. And then the gentleman said, so you were a pastor, and you know, you have a, he said, you have a very eloquent way of saying things. You could say things in a sentence that takes me like forever to say. Tell me about your walk and how you came to be a Christian. OMG. I mean, literally gave me permission to take my time and tell my testimony. And I try to keep it short, but I walked into the whole spiritual battle, and the demons and the dream and the suffocation and all this stuff, and how Jesus appeared to me, and I shared it straight in. I mean, I didn't bite my lip. I said, I wound up with a Wiccan, she was trying to kill me. All this stuff. I put it out there. Listen, you asked, I told you. So this co-host, he's quiet. You can see he's mesmerized. The whole room is quiet. So then the co-host says, okay, well, now we're going to give other people a chance to share your experience. Nobody spoke. Nobody was coming. Nobody's like, nobody, we're not going after that. Nobody spoke. And he said, wow, I really appreciate, you know, the level of spirituality. Now, why did I say that? Last night, I get a DM from a young lady who says, there's a spirit of love and aura all around you. And, you know, you can feel a presence of da, 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 da. Would you mind if I do a reading with you? And I act ignorant and said, yeah, thank you for the compliment. What's a reading? Well, I would help you know, delve into different things in life, and even people that have passed on, and da 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 da. And I responded to her just this morning, just before I got on. I said, I tend to get that directly from God, but I appreciate the offer. But yeah, I'm going to pass on that, okay? So my point is, the love of God on me in this season and my seeking it is so strong, yet just at the very beginning, I want you to understand that, but so strong to me from where I was, that I'm entering in a room of people who are believing in every kind of sorcery and reading and whatever you want to call it, and they're inviting me to talk. Because you know what people want? Not salvation, not religion, not Christianity. They want to know the love of God, and they want to know that they are loved, and they wanted to know my story because they wanted to understand how I can get on there on their platform where, and I said to them, I said, if most of the people from where I come from and the background I come from would say this was sacrilegious for me to be on your panel and talking to you. But I love you guys, and I know and I understand, and I'm learning things about you from being here. And so I immediately became the elder statesman of the room, not because I'm older, not because I was smarter, but because the love of God was radiating out of me, and I was able to listen, oh Jesus, and listen to them and hear them from a heart of love and give them the love that's radiating out of me because I've been sitting in the presence of God's love. You can't love people out of an empty place. Thank you, Celine. You can't love people out of a dry place. You can't love people out of a religious place. And one of the statements I made was, I said, in the revelation I've been sharing with you, when you're making that noise, when you're in emotion, you can't see any way but one. But then if you get quiet, you see the other avenues, God opens up the avenues. I said, and I said this to them, I never said it out loud. Why do you think pastors and ministers and preachers and prayer leaders get around? I rebuke you. I command you to come out. Because emotion is the only way they know to deal with it. It's got to be high energy and yelling and screaming because they're trying to move. That's why most of those prayers don't work, because you're trying to move people out of a spirit of emotion. When I was in Africa and I told them the Africa story, and I said, when they were all holding that woman down, and I said, let her go. And they said, no. I said, let her go. And I leaned over and whispered in her ear. She got healed. I showed her the love of God. I didn't even know at the time what I was doing. But God knew. I want to go over the scriptures again, but I'll see how God leads. I just want to tell you. We have forsaken, we have looked past, we have slept on the love of God, truly slept on it, and the levels of it, and how, which, as we read last week, which I can read again today, how all the power that is released in us is released in us by this love. I never understood that like I understand it now. That power to change, that power to minister, that power to heal, that power to be the image, the walk and living image of God is in that love. It's in that love. And because God is love, is not an attribute of God. That's, if you can understand it, that's what God is. That's who God is. And so I would ask you to seek God to understand in this season. So to all the wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God with peace, prosperity, and patience and abundance, that we got to put love in that. And am I right in saying that? Well, I'm going to take you to a different scripture for a minute, and I'm going to see something, and I'm going to see if I can make a point for you, okay? I want to read it right. I don't want to just go off the top of the head with it. So let's look at this. And this like makes sense to me now, like I never looked at it before in all my life. If I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, That reason and intention, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us. If you don't highlight anything, just highlight that scripture. I'm reading it from the Amplified, but I'm going to read it again. If I can speak with the tongue of men and even of angels, that's powerful. That's a powerful stuff right there. I can speak the tongue of angels, but have not love. Now, I always said, don't feel love for people. If I can speak in the tongue of angel and all this, but I don't have love for people. But he said, no, love. Then he said, watch this. That reason and intention, spiritual devotion, and spiritual devotion, right? Reasonable, intentional, spiritual devotion. And if you read that, it looks like it's on you. But it goes on to say, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. That's the encapsulation of it. It's not in you. It's not your own strength. It's not your feelings. It's not your emotions for people. It has to be inspired by God for us. God's love for us first. You got to know He loves us and in us. Watch this. Then I'm only a noisy and clinging cymbal. If I have the if and if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understanding, or like wisdom, insight, understand, knowledge of God, all the secret truth and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and I have sufficient faith that I can remove a mountain. But have not God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Wow. Well, God, then I need this love in me because I've been sharing wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, and you gave me that revelation. But now He's bringing us to where it works and where it has to come from. Everything we do has to be inspired by the fact that we are loved by God. And we love God. And we can love God as we know that we are loved by God. And we talked about that. But watch this. He's saying, useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to providing for the poor food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I make glory, but have not God's love in me, I gain nothing. Not I have. But you don't gain. So, praying for wisdom, praying for insight. I mean, some of you will talk to, and I know you, and you say, you know, God, just help me, just have more love, and help me not to be this kind of person, help me not to be selfish, and help me. To. And God said, but what you're not praying for is my love in you, that your behavior is born out of my love, not trying to earn brownie points from God. Because you think that's how you make God like you or accept you. Who understands me today? My behavior, my good deeds, all the spiritual power I walk in has to be inspired by God's love. Stop. Wait a minute. Because we've tried that and that didn't work. But it can't be inspired by God's love. That we're trying to give to other people if we have not first received God's love from God to us. I can't feed you or I can't fill you from an empty cup. I just can't. I've been trying to behave. You've been trying to behave. We've been trying to be good Christians. We've been trying to act right. It doesn't work. I mean, Romans chapter 7. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And the things that I should do, those are the things that I don't do. Wow. But what I've been looking for was the spiritual ability to do something right without first saying, God, I need to know that you love me and that I'm loved by you. And if that love is in and on me, then I can pour it out. Watch this. Even if I do like we did that, I gain nothing. Now watch this. Then it goes to love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious or boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglory. Now, this all sounds like things that I need to become to really be representing love. But I saw something here that I never saw before as God began to show me. You can't be this. It's impossible because if you don't have in you the knowledge of my love for you and are in love with me as I am in love with you, there's no way you can give. I would be on that panel like most Christians would be, yelling at people, rebuking demons, telling them they're going to hell, and everything else if I was not in this phase of my walk where I am seeking out the love of God so that I can reach anything, as Paul said, become all things to all men. You talking some stuff. They were talking one time about, speaking to the spirit of Ra. Have you ever seen him? Oh, yeah, he has white eyes and he looks like a lizard. And yeah, he made me feel creepy. No, he felt good. Now I felt comfortable with him. And he's a friend of mine and we speak every day. This is the kind of conversations they have. The average Christian would go running from there like they had the plague, or we'd be on there trying to curse them out and rebuke them. I was able by God's Spirit to sit there and hear them. And in some places feel sad, and some places feel compassion, but mostly feel love for them and said, wow, if believers knew how to tap into God's spirit, like you guys can tap into the universe or whatever you're tapping into, we'd be a much better place because you guys have figured something out. Now, my method ain't yours, but you found your way into what you call love. And the fact that they said to me, knowing you're a pastor and you've been, after I rebuked him and correct him in love, he said, can you get on here and tell us about your journey? And turned the floor over to me. That doesn't happen unless, Jesus, I'm humble, unless the love of God is pouring out of you. So let me read the rest of this, and I want you to understand this. Starting at verse 4. Love is endures, is patient, is kind, and never is envious or boils over with jealousy, nor is it boastful or vainglorious, nor does it display itself haughtily. Now, I'm going to read the rest of this, but I want you to understand that I'm about to change it forever for you. You ready for this? So, this is not talking about me and the behaviors that demanded of me. This is talking about the behavior that will come through me through God's love. We just read that. Through God's love and God's power. We read last week in Ephesians that we find strength and power and might through the love of God. Did we not? So watch this. This description is not a behavior challenge, it's a description of a person. If the scripture says God is love, I'm going to flip the scripture and I'm going to read it this way. Bear with me. God endures long and is patient and kind. God never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, nor is boastful or vainglorious, and does not display himself haughtily. He is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. He is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. God does not insist on his own way or his own right, for he is not self-seeking and is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. God takes no account of evil done to him and pays no attention to suffered wrongs. Does this make sense now? He does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. God bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. His hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and he endures everything without weakening. God never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete. All comes to an end. As for prophecy, yeah, that's going to fade away. In the interpretation of divine gifts and his purposes, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and ceased. As for knowledge, it will pass away and will lose its value and be superseded by truth. So listen, now it makes sense. This is the description of God, and you can't walk in God's behavior if you're not one with God. So stop reading this thing as a checklist that you need to try to fulfill. You cannot, apart from His spirit of love in you and you in Him. None of this can be accomplished without love. I walk in spiritual gifts. I can lay hands on people. I've seen people get healed, blah, 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 blah. But without God's love in me, He's saying I'm useless. I'm nothing. So I've spent a lot of years trying to be deep and spiritual and wasting time because that energy should be focused on and should have been focused on knowing that I am loved by God, God loves me, and I am filled with His love and it pours out of me because if He pours it in me, it has to ooze out. There's no way I can contain it. No way. It's not possible. I hope I encourage you today. I won't keep going. What you got right now is a lot. We're going to refocus in this season on God who is love. God is patient and kind. God's hope never fades in us. He never gives up. He's long suffering. Man, this last one really hit me. God bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. His hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and he endures everything without weakening or giving up. The way I become this is I become one with his love. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it. As we say on social media, and here I'll land my plane. I'm blessed by this opportunity to share this. And I'll end this by saying, when God first told me to, I was just up one night and was scanning through, and this popped up on my screen. I'm like, that shouldn't even be in my algorithm, but it popped up. And I went to swipe away, and God said, don't listen. And I sat up for about an hour and a half just listening to him. And I said, okay, I listened, I heard, and I understand. I got a better understanding and idea of where they're coming from. And I let it go. And then a couple of nights later, I was scrolling through TikTok and here they popped up again. And I went, wow, this is some heavy level stuff. You know, demons are not demons, they're aliens from another planet. Okay, all right, there is a form of truth to that. But another realm and all that, and get it. Okay. But this time God said, click in, request. Yeah, go ahead and request. And take no thought of what you're going to say. I'm going to tell you what to say. And I did. And I won them over. And so this time, like I said, they'll hit me like, they'll just click me. They'll see I'm live, I guess. I mean, I'll see I'm online. I don't know what they see, but I'll start getting requests to join. I'm getting to minister to and reach a market of people. And I keep closing my eyes because I'm so humbled by this. I want you to understand. I'm so humbled by this. I'm getting to reach a market of people who would, under no circumstances, listen to a pastor, go to a church, or anywhere around a church. And these people are following me and knowing me by name and even, you know, getting in my box and offering me a reading. And, you know, it's, I, you know, respect. I'm not mad at her. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. That's, she felt so much love for me that she just felt like she wants to try to connect in a deeper way that she understands. I respect that. It's just, that's not for me. We're not doing no reading and talking to no foregone spirits and nothing else. That's not going to happen. But however, I will get before the throne with you and bring you before God and let you and God have a conversation. You know, I can leave the room while you and him have it. You and I are so powerful. And I believe all these building blocks that he's been giving us for the past couple of years, you know, wisdom, insight, understanding, He's like, so did you do it the wrong way? No. If I didn't seek wisdom, insight, understanding, and knowledge of God, I would not have come to this place that I'm at right now. If we didn't seek that, you wouldn't be able to receive what I'm giving to you right now. Those were the stepping stones and the building blocks to get us ready to say, now God say, now you want to know how it works? You want to know how to make it really powerful? Walk in my love. Be in love with me like I'm in love with you. I'm willing to go down that road. I'm willing to learn what that is. I want all of that. I want every bit of that. And if every bit of your power emanates and comes from that love, thank you, sir. I'll have another. Love and blessings. Peace and grace of God be upon you all. I understand what that means now in a way I never understood it before. We can do this thing. I pray that God's word was a blessing to you today, and I know it is to me. Amen. Love you guys.